This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, February 19th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. USDA economist to deliver 2026 forecast. Trading systems future considered and specialty crops like new farm bill. USDA chief economist to unveil the 2026 farm economy forecast. USDA chief economist Jessen Benavides will deliver his first forecast on the state of the ag economy today at the department's two-day agriculture outlook forum that kicks off in Northern Virginia today. Benavides will provide analysis on commodity markets, trade, and farm income, according to USDA. He came on as chief economist last month. Ag futures market will get its first look at this year's corn and soybean plantings, even if the estimates aren't backed by data from growers yet. Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist for Stone X Group, said if these numbers prove accurate, it will be by accident. Suderman and other analysts will be scouring the USDA March 31 and planting intention survey of farmers for a more accurate picture. The trend yields for corn and soybeans will be of interest. However, Suderman said in a note to clients yesterday, we can expect USDA to use those yields in their new crop balance sheets in May, the WASDE crop report then. Benavides' address comes as USDA faces growing scrutiny over its crop production estimates following the departure of around a fifth of the department staff. The January supply and demand estimates included a sharp upward revision of corn acreage, sending grain prices downward. The administration has patched things up with Beijing for now, at least. It has also announced a string of trade deals in recent weeks with provisions to strengthen U.S. ag exports. But farmer sentiment is still plummeting, with almost a third of producers anticipating deteriorating economic conditions in the next 12 months. Many will be looking to Benavides to confirm their fears or offer a glimmer of hope. You can follow AgriPulse coverage of the forum at www.agripulse.com. Some of the rules underpinning the global trading system were under pressure long before the second Trump administration, former trade officials say, and may have already outlived their utility. The idea that countries apply tariffs to all trading partners evenly outside of free trade agreements, known as the most favored nation principle, underpins World Trade Organization agreements. But countries, as well as the European Commission, have questioned whether it allows the flexibility to deal with modern problems like climate change. We have to be open to the notion that MFN maybe has run its course, Maria Pagan, a deputy U.S. trade representative under President Joe Biden, said yesterday. President Donald Trump has run roughshod over international trade norms since returning to office, including by hiking tariffs on individual countries in defiance of MFN. Pagan said, I'm not saying that necessarily what's happening right now in the United States is the way to go about it, but we do have to think about how we fix MFN. Pagan argued the U.S. needs the freedom to target individual economies and their trade treatment. Brazil, she said, may be developing, be a developing economy, but it is also an agriculture behemoth that competes with the U.S. and with others. Should it receive the favored trade treatment in this area that other developing economies receive? Politico EU has reported that Canada, the European Union, and others are in talks now on how to collaborate to counter Trump's trade policy. Former WTO Director General Alan Wolf said in yesterday's webinar, Wolf said, I hope that they think about multilateralism as they do something regional and bring the system forward. The president yesterday signed an executive order to strengthen domestic supplies of glyphosate-based herbicides and phosphorus, a critical agreement. Glyphosate-based herbicides, quote, are a cornerstone of this nation's agriculture productivity and rural economy, the order reads. Supply disruptions would critically jeopardize agriculture productivity, it adds. The order invokes the Defense Production Act to allocate resources to strengthening production and directs Agriculture Secretary to issue implementing regulations. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The specialty crop sector is calling attention to an emergency assistance framework in the draft GOP Farm Bill that's notably different than the relief plan the Trump administration announced last week. The Farm Bill that the House Ag Committee will debate next week would authorize the first specialty crop emergency assistance framework. It's based on the structure of the second version of the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program and the more recent marketing assistance for specialty crops. Those programs were based on farm revenue. The new program planned by USDA would provide commodity-specific assistance. The Farm Bill's proposed, quote, framework would establish the parameters of a unique payment structure to compensate specialty crop producers in times of need, the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance said in a statement. The provision sends, quote, a clear signal that specialty crops are fundamentally different than row crops and need their own program at USDA for delivering economic aid. Alliance members include Western Growers and the International Fresh Produce Association. 13 state attorneys general and the California Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development are suing the Trump administration over its decision to terminate several energy grants, including one to research agrivoltaics. The AGs claim the decision to end over 300 energy projects under Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and inflation reduction programs violates the Constitution and the Administrative Procedure Act. One $1.7 million award to Rutgers University has been intended for researching agrivoltaic systems for diversified agriculture. Another award would have studied geological formations under Springfield, Illinois, for potential carbon dioxide storage. Here come the lawsuits. Major environmental and public health groups are taking the Trump administration to court following EPA's repeal last week of its endangerment finding, which in 2009 found that greenhouse gases, quote, threaten the public health and welfare of current and future generations and need to be regulated. The finding became the legal foundation for federal climate policy, including regulating vehicle, industrial, and power plant emissions and treating climate change as a public health issue under the EPA's authority, the World Resources Institute said. At the same time, EPA eliminated greenhouse gas tailpipe emission standards for vehicles. Yesterday came a lawsuit filed in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. The action is styled as a petition to the court and does not include arguments against the repeal, which will come later in the litigation. The American Public Health Association, Center for Biological Diversity, Environmental Law and Policy Center, and Public Citizen are among the 17 groups on the lawsuit. The repeal was published in yesterday's Federal Register. The group called Our Children's Trust also petitioned the court yesterday. Here's today's final word. We can't function in this chaos supported by the meaningless "We Love Our Farmers" slogan. We're not feeding the love when beef imports from Argentina are meant to cut into our profits because somehow paying farmers a fair price for their work to raise high-quality beef in a challenging environment is asking just too much. That Merlene Webster, a corn, soy, and cattle producer in Tama County, Iowa, during a press call yesterday organized by Iowa Democrats. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, February 19th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.